Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The World Cup Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everybody, to the World Cup Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of December, and we are here on a rare day off, one of the first few days off upcoming during Qatar 2022. So, have a look at the futures markets and some player props. Well, we've got 8 teams remaining. Quarterfinals are set, so we can revisit these markets. See if anything stands out. They're still all very live. Lots of plus money picks. Lots of long shots have still got a chance as well. So plenty of things for us to talk about. Joining me this evening, as per usual, our co-host from Nottinghamshire is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Barry, what's happening?
Good evening, Malcolm. How are we doing?
Good. Where have you been tonight?
I've been to the theatre.
Hey!
Pantomime.
Fancy pants.
Pantomime action tonight. Do they have pantomime in action. America?
You what?
You reckon they have pantomimes in America? Or do you think it's...
They don't have pantomimes in America. I don't think they know what pantomimes is in America. No, can you give us like a 20 seconds overview of a pantomime if you were explaining this to our American audience?
Yeah, for our American audience and overseas followers, pantomime's it's a theatre show, family orientated, for all the kids, all the family. It's always a classic fairy tale, isn't it? So it can be Cinderella, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Beauty and the Beast, all of those sort of things. Loads of comedy thrown in, musical stuff thrown in, magic, fireworks, all of that sort of stuff. Kids love it. And it's on every Christmas, isn't it? Every theatre across the UK at Christmas, we'll run one for 3 or 4 weeks. So tonight we went to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs with
who was in it? Was it some? Was there an old shit personality in it? They've normally got you normally get a really old like 1970s celebrity, although they're all in prison, like, so they might have had to pivot to 1980s celebrities. So you normally get like someone who like did the weather on local news in 1981, that kind of level of X-list celebrity we're talking about. So who was it, Buzz?
We were a bit higher, but probably 90s this time. Okay. We had Joe Pasquale and Faye from Steps.
Oh, what? That's the highest level.
So we had a bit of a Steps medley at the end, like everyone singing and dancing on their feet, stamping their feet with a bit of tragedy and all of that sort of stuff. Joe Pasquale and Faye from Steps were the stars of the show tonight.
Yeah, Joe Pasquale's quality. Faye from Steps. Back in the day, Baz, I'm sure there was a Faye from Steps poster on my bedroom wall when I was about 19, I'll be honest, when Steps were kicking around, but doesn't mean, Faye from Steps was high quality back in the day. Excellent. Well done you. And in other news, Baz, I believe we've had goulash.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did tweet that out. So if you're on Twitter, you'll have seen a picture of the old beef goulash. There's been a lot of talk of beef goulash since I come back from Slovakia. Eventually got it done today, and it lived up to all expectations. Tremendous. Really, really good.
It looked good. Was the bairn happy?
Believe it or not, she didn't have any.
She'd been
desperate for a chicken tikka masala for days. And Helen had been to the shop and bought her a chicken tikka masala yesterday. Just for her, just an individual portion. And she come in tonight all excited for a curry. And I gave her the choice of the two when she went for the chicken tikka masala. She's determined. She said, I'll have to make another goulash on another day.
Is there no goulash left?
To be fair, there is some left, so she'll probably have that tomorrow.
Fair enough.
She's a big fan of a curry, as Sophie, like, the little one loves a curry. You could ask her every day what she wants for tea, and curry will be.
She'll have a curry.
Aye.
Good. Massive respect to that one. I've just got out the bath, Baz, and one of my pet hates, I can't believe I've brought this up yet. I'm a man of a certain age, so I had to apply various creams, Baz, upon getting out the bath. I had three different creams to apply, or they weren't all creams, ointments, lotions, or whatever you want to call them. What annoys me, are you a big creamer, Baz?
No, I mean, what is the point, Malcolm? You still look a fucking mess.
So are you winding me up? Have a look.
You look like you've just been dragged out of a hedge.
I've just got out the bath, man. Put me Morocco top over me pyjama top, because obviously Morocco one, we're going to come to that. Do you not use a bit of moisturiser or anything?
No, no, like that. None of that shit.
You're big shiny heat. You must moisturise that. That's not that shiny naturally. No?
Yeah, I can't.
Well, what annoys me is, Baz,
he'll sort that.
Half the cream must go in your finger. Wasn't it?
I'm assuming it does, aye.
You've got lovely soft fingers.
It might not be
moisturiser, it might be for medical purposes. 50% of all creams must go in your finger. It's an absolute racket. Like the cream industry, Baz, have absolutely worked us over here. I would invent something to fix that problem, but it's pretty straightforward, really. You either need a thimble, I think.
A glove, innit? Just a glove.
If you cut the finger off a latex glove, you're in business. So I don't think I can make millions on it, because people would look at my invention and say, well, I'll just go home and cut the finger off a glove. But I get continually outraged by the thought of half the cream going in my finger. Normally in my post-bath rituals, and it just occurred to us then, because I had to put a bit of tiger balm on my chest here, Baz, because I've got a bit of a cough. You know, every time you make me laugh, I start coughing my guts up. So a bit of tiger balm on the chest, and then I moisturise, and then the third cream we don't need to go into, but yeah. So my fingers borne the brunt. Look at that. All of that cream in there.
Malcolm, you're living the life of a 60-year-old bloke, like, with a tiger balm. A 60-year-old woman, in fact, with a tiger balm.
Do you not like a tiger balm? It's one of the great products, like.
No tiger balm in our house, like.
Oh, mate, it's one of the great products. It's I like what I enjoyed tonight was, this is absolutely shit content, by the way, is because the bath was really hot and all steamy, I take the lid off the tiger balm and I put it in the bath and just let it bob around. So it kind of, because it's like waxy, it melts in the heat and it just sort of fills the air, you know what I mean? So I feel like I'm having a Turkish bath kind of thing with the tiger balm bobs around in there. You're shaking your head, apparently furious at this news.
Oh God! I'll consider the tiger bomb in future. Next,
all right, get the tiger bomb on, Baz. You too can look as good as me. We didn't do a show last night because there was no football to talk about. So we've got four remaining round of 16 games to catch up on. We'll do that ever so briefly. First up yesterday was Japan against Croatia. In fact, it's probably a good job we can factor these games into our recap, because we did okay yesterday. And we were shite today. So a little tout from yesterday. I think we nailed pretty much everything. The game finished 1-1 with no goals in extra time. Croatia won on penalties. I gave out often in these games, as you'll be aware, I've been starting with the correct score and then reverse engineering it. And 1-1 was my starting point. So anything you want, I gave the draw out, which was a nice prize, both teams to score, all manner of things like that. And then just disappointing, the Japan penalties, because Japan would have been a more fun team to go through it. I think I talked the night before about I was bored of some of these sort of middle-ranking European teams, because Croatia have actually been apart from spanking Canada, Croatia haven't been very good at all, and weren't really against Japan. I think Japan were the better team, but absolutely minged all four of their penalties straight at the Croatian goalie. So, yeah, a bit of a shame. Japan would have been better for the tournament, I think, but Croatia squeezed through in that one. But we did all right with our picks, Baz. I think you had a winner as well.
Yeah, I think I went both teams to score also in the Japan game. Going well off the top of my head now, but I had a good night on the following game as well. Well, I think we both done all right on the Brazil game, didn't we?
Yeah, the Brazil was a funny one because it could have, even though, I mean, they were absolutely brilliant. They humped South Korea 4-1. They were 4-0 up after about half an hour. But you could have easily lost a couple of your bets because with a big 4-0 at half-time, then Korea actually won the second half 1-0. So a few lines like Brazil to win both halves that I've taken a couple of times, I've landed that. And that's the sort of bet where you could have just tripped up on what really was an easy cash. If you fancied Brazil, you cashed it pretty much in any way. But there were a couple of methods that you could have lost this one.
Yeah, I mean, Brazil to win to nil would have been a sickener, wouldn't it?
That was another sickener, yeah. But again, I mean, I suppose I got a little bit lucky in that I picked up both teams to score at 11-8. But I did put out as my pick was the over 2.5 goals because I factored in the 3-0 Brazil win. And that had cashed, like you say, after 20-odd minutes, which I'd done the night before with England, Senegal. Just a little bit of a safety net. So that worked out a couple of times. But Brazil looked really, really good, Baz.
Yeah, so I took the Brazil goal. So the over 2.5, I went strictly on the Brazil side. 2.5 over 2.5 was 11-8. And I pushed that up. I went over 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. So I had some decent bets and sitting four goals in at half time. Obviously, good profit from the over 2.5 and over 3.5 Brazil goals. But you're sitting there thinking, surely the over 4.5 and the 5.5 are going to cash you. And then Brazil just took a foot off the pedal. It's always a risk with those bets, isn't it? You sort of know that's always a possibility. But still, it was a very good night with the Brazil win. And as you say, you know, most people would have been on that side of things. But still, get plus money for those sort of bets. We've done all right there.
Yeah, so Brazil went through pretty bloodlessly to take on Croatia. Favourites both landing there. Then this evening, we've had this afternoon, the first big shock, really. Certainly the biggest shock in the second round of games, where Morocco knocked Spain out on penalties, hence my Morocco top over me Jimmy Jams. 0-0 game was absolute dog shit. But Morocco achieved what they set out to do. It can happen. It certainly can happen against a team like Spain, who are just going to... It's like death by a thousand paper cuts, but... I don't think there was an awful lot of credit, frankly, in what Morocco did. And at the end of the game, before extra time, Laura Woods and Joe Cole were saying, this has been a magnificent game to watch. And it hadn't. It had been absolutely terrible. Morocco made a couple of half chances. Actually, the substitutes got sort of one-on-one a couple of times, but never looked like scoring. And Spain had a plan A and absolutely nothing else. Like, I just don't think they're good enough because they haven't got another gear. Spain, to me, they will go sideways, 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 20-yard diagonal chip, Morocco bloke, heads it clear, start again. The manager seemed reluctant to make changes in early stage in the game. They brought Morata on and then still played the same way, which doesn't really play to Morata's strengths at all. So
I think ultimately Spain... You know, given his performances, you know, he's a top scorer, he was scoring every time he come on. I don't know why they don't start.
I don't think he fits in with that system of play. Yeah, like,
but it is. It's just keep ball, but just do nothing with it. Do they? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure I looked at. I think it was at 90 minutes. I don't know how it finished up in the end. They probably created a few more chances in the extra time period. But I'm sure at 90 minutes they had something like 76% possession and two shots on target the whole game from that. You can have the ball. It's no wonder teams are happy to let them have the ball for as long as they like, because they just don't do anything with it, do they? In that sort of final third.
No, the XG, I think the combined XG was something like 0.88 after 90 minutes. In extra time, Morocco looked a little bit more dangerous. They broke and got on the wrong side a couple of times. Sarabia hit the beans on tour straight at the end. I think he was offside. They only showed one replay of it and then stopped talking about it because it hadn't gone in, so it was irrelevant. They kept bagging on about great chance, great chance, great chance. The one replay they showed down the line, he looked offside, so I don't really think it mattered. And then the penalties...
Sarabia hit the post again.
Sorry?
Sarabia hit the post
He hit the post again, yeah. The penalties were absolutely cack. They didn't score any, did they?
No, I was wondering if that was the first time. Do you know if it's happened in a World Cup before where a penalty shootout, a team hasn't scored a single one? I can't remember it, but obviously going back, there might be instances. But yeah, three pens taken, three missed, and they were... you can say they're crap, can't you? But if they go in, they're not crap.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's not Hakimi one that wins it. Everyone's... You go on Twitter and everyone's like, oh, he's got ice in his veins. What a penalty.
I've got this written down, but...
If the keeper stands still and saves it, everyone's going mad. What the hell's he doing? It's a shit pen. Just fucking put your boots to it. It's one of them, isn't it? If it comes off, you look a genius. And if it doesn't, everyone's telling you you're ridiculous. So it was a ridiculous penalty, but it goes in and you get all the credit for it.
Yeah, I think it really...
We all sit at home and say it's a shit pen or it's a great pen. And most of that is based on the fact it's been scored or hasn't been scored, isn't it?
It was a shit pen is the answer to that conundrum. But
well, I mean, one, absolutely, but...
Yeah, because he didn't even catch it right. It sort of bounced. He's tried the Panenka, if you didn't see it, anyone. He's tried the Panenka. It never got more than about 6 inches off the ground and then sort of bounced on the line and went in straight down the middle as the keeper's dived out the way. And again, yeah, you're seeing all these photos of ice in his veins. He basically fluffed it. It was a terrible decision that he didn't execute very well, and it went in.
Got away with it, yeah, yeah. So you get away with it, it's fine. But if you miss them, I mean, we've seen... I'm sure Messi missed one like that recently. There's one big name who tried that recently. I'm sure it might have been Messi in quite a big game. And everyone goes mad, even though it's messy. So it's one of them, and the reaction to it can be wildly one way or the other, depending on the outcome. And
yeah, so I think ultimately Spain have played four games and won one. They beat Costa Rica 7-0. Costa Rica played the exact opposite way to Morocco. They've then not beaten Germany, lost to Japan, and were unable to beat Morocco. So I think ultimately, Spain have got what they deserve. Morocco qualifying was a good story. I think it's good for the tournament. It's great for African football. They get a chance to be the first African side to qualify for a semi-final. But apart from that, the actual game itself, they do look really well organised, etc. But it'll be interesting to see against a different side, a more potent side, a side that puts it to them a little bit more, asks a few more questions. Because Spain just played into their hands. So, and then finally today we had...
On that point, before we move on from there, I mean, I've seen a couple of people tonight saying, from England's point of view, at least we don't have to face Spain now. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't have feared Spain.
No, not at all.
The way they've played in this tournament, Spain, I wouldn't have been bothered about at all. And Morocco would probably possibly be a harder team to break down and beat. I mean, Morocco have only conceded one goal in the whole tournament, and that was an own goal as well. Yeah. You know, they played Belgium, Spain, Croatia, and as I say, an own goal against Canada. So, four games, only one goal conceded. And I'd talked about this pre-tournament and in the build-up to some of the group games, they had a really good sort of defensive record coming into it as well. They kept clean sheets in the last four in the build-up to this. So, they're going to be a hard team to break down. For me, if Spain had got through the night, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, God, if we get past France, we might have to face Spain because they were garbage. They deserve to have gone. So.
No, if you look at what Brazil, Argentina, France have done, England, they all would give you more fears than Spain have done. I think Spain have been down there with kind of maybe the Netherlands, in the next rank, and then Croatia. So, yeah, not much at all for Spain. The second game tonight, really odd one. Portugal 6, Switzerland 1. Got this wrong. Just going back to Spain. I bet we spent everything wrong again. Took the team total on Spain. Actually, like the unders, but so did the books. The bookies loved the unders as well. And so we, whereas we mentioned them, they're all a little bit short, 4 to 6 under 2.5, stuff like that. So I thought it was a safer way to take Spain. That was shite. Yeah, Portugal 6, Switzerland 1. I took the draw. Excellent. And this was just a bit of an odd one as well. They left Ronaldo out. I think he'd had a bit of a paddy with the manager, maybe, when the manager took him off the other day.
Yeah, I reckon he was throwing in, like shouting at the manager when he comes off. He claims he was shouting at one of the opposition, but it's exactly what we've seen at Man United again, isn't it?
I saw that news this afternoon, an hour before the kickoff, I was thinking, this is now falls back into my handicap of they're going to fall apart, we had handicapped them before the tournament. So I was thinking, yeah, Switzerland will win this, and then I can go on the show and see how right I was. And then they won 6-1. So I can't do that bad. Gonzalo Ramos, Benfica, a kid from Benfica, pretty much an afterthought, scored his first international goal and then scored 2 more. So Ramos, who came in for Ronaldo, stuck a hat-trick in. Switzerland were absolutely cacked. Fabian Schär, of this parish, Newcastle United's Fabian Schär, was terrible. Absolutely terrible. He was to blame for both the first 2 goals. He let the kid shoot for the first one and then just didn't bother jumping, lost his marker for the second one. He did save the day by picking up a yellow card. I backed him at 130 when I saw the team news. So he's had 2 appearances in this tournament and picked up 2 yellows. And I think we did alert you to that in the show before we've handicapped the Swiss first game. I did expect him to start, and he hasn't. He started because Elvedi, I think, has been ill, the Mönchengladbach player. So Schär came on, picked up 2 yellow cards. So there's an instant 6.5 units of profit there on Fabian Schär. So I still don't know what to make of Portugal. They were really good tonight. They were really good. Leão scored a really good goal. But just the Swiss were really, really bad. So as much as I concede that Portugal were better tonight, I still don't know really what to make of them. And then I don't know what they're going to make of Morocco, who they draw next, because that's is for the reasons you've just given out, Baz, those clean sheet stats, etc. A really tough game for Portugal.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game tonight. As you know, I've been out entertaining the family. So I didn't catch the game, but I was sort of keeping my eye on the phone, looking at the scores coming in. 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. I'm like, Christ, what is going on? Yeah, just didn't see it coming at all. I fancied Switzerland to get something off Portugal tonight. And I mean, we've talked Portugal down again and again, haven't we? And been caught out with them throughout. And I remember saying this to you early on in the tournament. I remember doing the exact same thing the year they won the Euros, just talking them down and talking them down the full way through it. So it does give me a bit of a fear that they could go a bit further and keep surprising everyone with the results. I mean, Ronaldo, what are they going to do with him now?
The kid who came in scored a hat-trick, so exactly. I think
you've got to give him a shot, haven't you?
I think so.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they line up and how... as I say, I didn't see any of the game, but I'd seen some headline about Ronaldo apparently walking off the pitch after the game whilst everyone else was celebrating. I don't know if that's true. As I say, you can make anything look like what you want it to look like. He could be walking off to go and have an interview with someone or anything. So I don't know. I hadn't looked into that any further, but... If the apple cart is upset and Ronaldo is not happy about things, then be interesting. See. But I mean, manager can't be that pissed off when we brought him on in the second half, didn't he? So,
yeah, that was it. It was hard to work out because every time Portugal scored, there was a camera right up the nostrils of Ronaldo to gauge his reaction. So he was warming up when a couple of the goals in went the second half, and he was clapping and flexing arms above his head and smiling when he came on. Because the game was won, the game was over as a contest. He was laughing and joking with Bruno Fernandes. He was getting involved with the supporters, trying to rile them up. So he seemed to be enjoying himself. But obviously, by then it was easy to be magnanimous when you're 6-1 up. It would have been a less less straightforward if they were 2-0 down. So yeah, just interesting to see how that one pans out. We're going to have a look then with this quarterfinal set back at the outright markets to win. We've still got things like the Golden Boot, the Golden Ball. There's a few other markets still in play. So we'll have a little look at those in a moment once I've told you about our headline sponsor here on the World Cup Gambling Podcast, which is the Wynn Casino. If you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia, bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. If you're looking to get involved in the same game parlay, WynnBET is your home with the WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. If you're ready to play, sign up to receive the special offer. Bet $100 to win $100. Loads to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone who has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I will also direct you at this point to our Discord channel, discord.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Loads of fun in there. All the sharps are in there. The NFL channel, NBA as well. But there's a soccer channel specifically. So you can get in there and have a little bit of chat. Me and Baz are in there most days, fooling about. Spotify, if you're a Spotify user, leave us a review. I know people's Spotify Wrapped have been coming out this year, and it's great for the network in general. If we can get some reviews and some
likes. I
don't
even think they need
spreads.
A review, Malcolm. They just need to tick the 5-star button. That is it.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works?
Yes. So nice. If you are listening on Spotify, it really does take a second, and it would be greatly appreciated if you could give us.
I haven't even done that, Baz. I'm going to do that when I
get yourself on, because until we get so many reviews, we can't actually say our score. So yeah, get yourself on. If you're on and you're listening, it'll literally take you 2 seconds. Similar if you're on Apple and whatever, wherever you're listening to your podcast, it really is appreciated if you can give us a review and a rating, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Baz. Right, okay. So 8 teams remain. The outright market is France, our second favourites. I do not know why I said that first. Brazil are +175, a price of 7-4. France 4-1. Argentina 6-1. England 6-1. Portugal 6-1. Netherlands 14-1. Morocco 28-1. And Croatia are 33-1. The lineup is Netherlands versus Argentina, England v France, Brazil v Croatia, and Portugal versus Switzerland. I think the first thing to point out, Baz, is your little wall chart. You mushed yourself this afternoon, which made me laugh because you've got 7 of 8 in there, in the right place as well, coming through in the right place in the group. But before Spain kicked off, you said, oh, if this goes okay today, I'm going to end up with 8 out of 8. And no sooner did you say that, did Spain get turfed out?
Yeah, I was a whisker away from having all 8 of them in the right position. So I, as you say, the Spain went out on penalties. We had Netherlands v Argentina down, Croatia v Brazil, England v France, and then I had Spain v Portugal to get to the quarters. So 7 out of 8 in the right position. So you know, right place for group winners and runners up and stuff. Not a bad effort. And so it's meant looking at this show, and after sort of start again. Particularly in terms of following your wall chart through, because a lot of it's there. There can be a lot of football being played since we first drew up the wall charts, but I'm still sticking to my guns a little bit with a lot of what I've got here. So,
yeah, that's fair enough. 5 out of 8, England, France, and Netherlands, Argentina. So 2 games correct. Got Brazil in the right spot, and then the rest of it. So not terrible, but not as good as you. In terms of a little bracket through then, Baz. Which 4 teams do you have advancing? And then 2 to make the final. Just quickly take us through from 8-4 to 2-1 for you.
Yeah. So, as I say, I'm looking back at my original, and I'll tell you where I've changed my mind. I originally had Netherlands, Argentina, and I went with Argentina, and there's nothing that's happened that would change my mind there. I'm still quite strong on Argentina and haven't been blown away by Netherlands at all. So I predicted also a Croatia-Brazil quarter final with Brazil going through, and I'll stick with that. England-France pre-tournament, I'd predicted England-France quarter final, and I've got France going through, and now I'm wavering. Like I'll come to my reasons for it shortly. And then finally, I had down Spain-Portugal, so that's where it tipped up a bit. So we've now got Morocco-Portugal. And I'm going to go with Portugal. I can't keep opposing Portugal any longer.
Watch me.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. And that's fine. But yeah, I'll take Portugal to go through. So that would give... I'm going to lean England. So I've changed my pre-tournament pick of France to beat England. That would give us Argentina and Brazil. I said at the start of the tournament, I think they'll both get there. They'll both get to that semi-final. And I think it'll be a coin toss. I think you'd said yesterday, Brazil sort of, they'll probably have a tougher game when they come up against South American opponents, where there's a bit more familiarity. And I think that could happen. So I'm sticking with Argentina to get to the final. And that leaves Portugal, England. And I'm on the fence at the moment. I'll probably have to go England. Which sort of leads into a few of the sort of bets I'd looked at. I'd looked at a couple of forecasts. But if you want to tell us how you see it planning out first, and then we'll talk.
Yeah,
about
okay. We'll get onto those forecasts then. I'll run through mine. So yeah, I got Argentina knocking out the Dutch, and a couple of our biggest bets bars from our £1 million show are riding on this game. You've got a lumper on Argentina to reach the semi-final.
Which the tournament was Argentina to get to the semi, so massively riding on this one. And so as I say, it was more than half of my stake in the almost half of my stake in the £1 million show was on that. 6-4 plus 150 was Australia to get the semi. So we've got money riding on that, which would be very nice if that comes in.
And that, at the same time, if that comes in, one of my biggest bets was the Dutch to be eliminated in the quarterfinals. This was the exact reason I picked this bet. The Dutch were going to win their group easily, get a poorer team out of Group B, advance to that, and then get knocked out of Argentina, which was 5-2 plus 250. So we could both cash a nice little bet there, Baz, if that one comes up. So yeah, Argentina going through to play Brazil. They will beat Croatia quite comfortably. I've put England through to go against France. God, it's hard, man. Toss of a coin. They'll take on Portugal. I think it'll get rid of Morocco. And then I've got Brazil going all the way, and Brazil will take on England in the final. So the two from that market, obviously Brazil, 7-4. We tipped them up at the start of the tournament. My tip was Brazil at 4-1. But if you didn't get any Brazil, you want to go back in, I wouldn't put you off 7-4. My pick's still Brazil at plus 175. And the forecast is Brazil, England, it is a price of 8-1. And then Brazil, France, I think that's the key game for me. England, France. I think either of them can beat Portugal or Morocco. I've got Portugal going through. But England, France is, Brazil, France is half a point shorter. That's 15-2, a price of plus 750. So 8-1 or 7.5-1 for Brazil over England or Brazil over France. What was your forecast, Bas?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sticking with Argentina, and I wouldn't put anyone off backing Argentina again. I mean, I tipped them at the beginning of the tournament. I backed them at the beginning of the tournament, 11-2. So plus 550. They're now a bigger price than they were pre-tournament. They're now 6-1, plus 600 for Argentina to win. They've overcome the group stage. They've overcome the second round. And they're now a bigger price, I'm assuming, based on the fact they're going to potentially come up against Brazil. But I think everybody had that scenario in their predictions anyway. So the fact they're a bigger price at this stage, I just can't be put off them still. I get why Brazil are favourites, worthy favourites, and I'd quite happily be on them. If I'd backed them at the start of the tournament, I'd be happy with where I was. But having backed Argentina early on, I'm happy to stick with them. So forecast-wise, I'd looked at Argentina-England Argentina to beat England at 20-1.
Nice.
And Argentina Portugal at a similar price. And that sort of covers the scenario. If we can get England through France, then you've got a massive chance of having. Well, obviously, you've got to get Argentina in the final as well. But the two of them are 20-1, in line with me, fancying Argentina to get to the final. I'll take England and Portugal both at 20 to come runner up to Argentina.
So another market we looked at is the top scorer market, the Golden Boot. Kylian Mbappe is a clear favourite for good reason. He scored 5 goals, and then there's a load of players on 3 goals. So he's got a 2-goal lead. He's 4-6. He's a price of -164 to take that down. Behind him, you've got Richarlison, who's on 3. He is 13-2 plus 650. These players are all on 3 goals. Messi at 10-1. Olivier Giroud, 18-1. Cody Gakpo, 20-1. Marcus Rashford, 22-1. Bukayo Saka at 33-1. And Gonzalo Ramos, who got that hat-trick tonight for Portugal, he suddenly shot into the fray at 25-1. And then players on 2, still alive. Julian Alvarez of Argentina at 33s. Bruno Fernandes at 50s. Didn't score tonight. Portugal hit 6, but he didn't get any of them. And then Kramaric, the Croatian, is at 100-1. The market is made for me here by the each-way terms. So each-way, the equivalent of win-place-show. In America, so you're getting paid out for second and third place. You get a quarter of the odds if your selection comes first, second or third. So anyone except Mbappe, you're making profit on if they finish second or third. So really, just following my little system of Brazil getting to the final, I think Richarlison has to be a bet. And this is actually top 4, I think. 1, 2, 3, and 4. So a little bit of profit if he probably one more goal, I think he'll get you a place in this market as well. But if he does knock a couple in, they could hump Croatia. If he knocks a couple in, he's going to be level with Mbappe. So he's not totally out with the market, especially if Mbappe was injured today, missed training. If England can knock France out without him scoring, so you've still got that live chance of winning a plus 650. But even then, one more goal will get you a little bit of profit. It's a decent safety net. I think it's 6.5-1. I think you have to bet him. So if France do go through, obviously we're sort of putting a line through Mbappe and look for some players price here. Olivier Giroud at 18-1. Again, for the same reason, one more goal, I think, gets you a place in what, a quarter of the odds, 4.5-1. It's a decent payout for Olivier Giroud to score one more goal, effectively, I reckon. So I think that represents value. He's definitely going to start as well. You need the opportunity. So I think one more goal will do that. So they were my two leans here. Richarlison, not very flashy, 13-2. But I do think that Olivier Giroud is live at 18-1 in that market. Behind Mbappe, who does look, he's got it wrapped up. But I was playing for each way in money bets.
Yeah, so there's one thing to point out here. There's two different markets. You can look at the Golden Boot or you can look at the top goal scorer, and there's a difference because the Golden Boot goes, if there's a tie, it'll go to the person with the most assists.
Okay.
The Golden Boot, whereas the top goal scorer, if it's a tie, it would be dead heat rules. So there's a difference important to point out.
So I was on top goal. Excuse me, top goal scorer there, Buzz.
And Mbappe and Giroud both finish on 5, then half your stake's a winner. Simple as that. If you back the Golden Boot and you've backed win only, and Mbappe has got 3 assists and Giroud's got none, Mbappe wins the Golden Boot. He picks up the Golden Boot trophy. He's the winner of the Golden Boot. But in terms of top goal scorer, they're both top goal scorer because they're level. So I worth pointing that out to people. If you're getting similar price in the top goal scorer market, then consider that because you've got that chance. Because at the moment, Mbappe is on 5 goals. He's also got 2 assists. Any of those others in the market, the only ones that have got assists, Messi's got 1. And Ramos, who got his hat-trick tonight, also got an assist tonight. So you could have a couple of them might get up to 5 goals, but they'd still be behind Mbappe in the golden ball, in the golden boot, by virtue of the fact that Mbappe's got those assists. for me, I think it all hinges on this France-England game, doesn't it? I've got to think, if France win that, and Mbappe has got another Mbappe's potentially got another three games, hasn't he? Because if they're losing the semi-final, they're in the third, fourth place playoff. If France beat England, I can't see how Mbappe doesn't get the golden boot. I'm not backing him at 4-6, 8-13, whatever it is. So my hopes in the golden boot market revolve a bit more around France not getting through. So although I like the thinking with Giroud, you know, if France do go through, then he is a good price for an each way bet. So I sort of had a bit of a look further down the list of players on three who could possibly get a couple of goals along the way if the sort of bracket goes as I expect. So I've looked at England. Rashford and Saka are both on three, and I can't see why Rashford's 22-1 and Saka's 33-1. Exactly. No, he's 22-1, but Saka's 33-1.
Yeah, okay.
And Saka will start because he played the other day. And so I think the team the other day for England, I'd be surprised if it's any different this week. I think he's likely to go with the same lineup. Haven't had a good result against Senegal. I'd be very surprised if Rashford comes into the team. And I would expect Saka to start. So I think Saka at 33s is definitely better value than Rashford. Obviously, he needs to pick up a couple of goals or, you know, one goal, as you say, it could get you into the place money. So it does, it follows on from me sort of predicting England might get past France. And if they do, and Rashford's looking at possibly three games to get a couple of goals, Saka, 33-1 each way is one that stood out for me. And then one that obviously I'd looked at this initially this afternoon and didn't have any Portugal players in my sights, but then Ramos 25s, he's got to start the next game, hasn't he, against Morocco? And I know Morocco are good defensively. But Portugal with a very good chance of getting to the semi-finals. And as I say, you've got to factor in, if you get to those semi-finals, then you've potentially got that third or fourth place playoff, which is a bit of a nothing game for teams, but it could also potentially have a few goals in there. So those goals will still count towards your top goal scorers and your golden boots and things like that. So maybe he's a bit of a bandwagon, this one. You know, he certainly wasn't on my radar before tonight, but haven't played that way tonight. Expecting him to start next time. 25-1 Ramos again. He's got an assist as well, so that sort of pushes him a little bit up in the tiebreak, as if you're on the golden boot market. Each way, Ramos. And again, it's hoping Portugal are going to get to at least a semi-final, and he's looking at three more games to get on the score sheet. As I say, if you're looking outright, it's really, really hard to look past Mbappe even more. So if France beat England, I think you can pay out on Mbappe now. I can't see how he gets beat.
Yeah, there's been examples of sort of a hot hand. Toto Scarlatti springs to mind for Italy, 1990. Just getting hot at the right time, and Ramos could just bang another couple in. You know, you could say they could win, beat Morocco 2-1, and Ramos gets another two, and all of a sudden, 25-1 is very live indeed. Margaret caught my eye was the winning continent, Baz. Now, I thought I'd handicapped this afternoon, presuming Spain would win. I actually thought the prices would have changed, but they haven't. Europe are the favourites at 1.8, so 4-5 minus 120. South America, even money is going to be my pick here, just as a little bit of a safety net. Because, like I say, I've got Argentina, I've got Brazil in most of my picks, the way I've undressed this in forecasts and outrights and stuff like that. I've got Brazil. But I just think even money plus 100 for South America is really good. Argentina, Brazil semi-final does look not a safe bet, obviously. I think Brazil will beat Croatia. Argentina, not quite so sure against the Netherlands, but they've been poor. So you'd be unlucky not to get a finalist. If either of those teams get to the final, I don't think they're going to be even money to win that game or to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, to lift the trophy. Like, if they play England, France or Portugal, they're going to be the favourites. They're going to be minus 120, I think. So it's just a little bit of value. I think you get a South American team in the final To lift the trophy, they're going to be minus 120 to plus 120 for France, England, Portugal, whoever you get. I think, I mean, the closest to that might be Argentina v Portugal or Argentina v France. So, you know what I mean? But I just think it just looked to me to represent a little bit extra value, Baz. And you could have an even money runner in the final by putting that bet on now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Europe being short is based purely on the numbers, isn't it? There's five European teams there to two South American teams.
But well, at the time, obviously Spain were going to get chucked in there as well. Another big name brand to go with England, France, whoever else. Spain haven't gone in there, so Africa is still alive in that market. The prices haven't changed on the top two, so I'm happier with it.
When you break it down, the bottom part of the draw, you're very much expecting a European team to get there, aren't you? England, France or Portugal to get there ahead of Morocco. But then equally, you know, you look at the top side of the draw and you'd be amazed if you don't get a South American through at that end. I could understand South America being the outsiders a bit more if they were in different parts of the draw, maybe, because I just think them both being in the top part of the draw, I'm struggling to see one of them not getting to the final. And I agree with you, if they get to the final, they're probably slight favourites against anyone. France possibly, you know, if France get a good result against England and then a good result against Portugal, suddenly France are going to be pushing to be favourites in that final, aren't they? But yeah, I like your angle. South America at evens isn't a bad shout. I mean, we've both got Brazil or Argentina to win it, so...
Yeah. So add them in. And then the final market I've looked at, Baz, is the Golden Ball, which is the player of the tournament. The market is Mbappe is the 11-8 favourite currently, plus 137. Messi is 92, plus 450. Then it gets out to Neymar, 14-1, Richarlison, 16-1, and any price you like the others. Now, I've already got Richarlison at 50-1 here, so I don't really need to top up this market. I think if Brazil win... again, all my eggs in one basket. It's hard to get away from any Brazilian. You could maybe add Vinicius in there, who came to life a little bit last night, got on the score sheet, etc. And maybe over Neymar. Vinicius is a big price. The live dog that I've looked at, Baz, is Jude Bellingham, 20-1. Just because of his profile is currently as high as a lot of these players in the tournament. Of all the England players, Bellingham's getting more airtime, he's getting more column inches than anybody else. He's playing out of his skin, and he's going to be a top-class player for the next 15 years. I think if England, like I say, progress at least to the final, but it's going to be on the back of a lot of good Bellingham performances and everyone saying the right things about him. And there's no reason why he shouldn't perform well because he's absolutely top-class. Bellingham's 20-1. So I thought he might just be worth a little dabble. And if England can see off France, he might still be live when it comes final time, Baz.
Yeah, so I've marked the same player. I looked at the market. Again, Mbappe 11-8, we know why. And if France get past England and make it to the final, then Mbappe's got every chance of winning, doesn't it? It's one that I think's probably hugely... You've got to get to the final, you would think, haven't you, to win it? And both of us have got England getting to the final as it stands. Again, trying to avoid Mbappe in the hope that England do beat France and we can look a bit elsewhere and get a little bit more value. I had down an England-Argentina final. If Argentina win the World Cup, you can guarantee Messi wins the Golden Ball.
True story.
You know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? But I did take off Bellingham as well, because similarly, if England get to the final, he's the one who's making all the headlines for England. If England do the unthinkable and go and win it, I can't see that it's going to be anybody else but Jude Bellingham who picks that up. So 20-1, I'm all over that as well. I think good value there.
Did you know that Birmingham City had retired his number?
Yes.
When he left, he was 17 years old when he left, Baz. Because that doesn't happen in this country anyway. I don't think I've ever heard of it actually in football.
I've seen a couple of things on Twitter the other day about that. Birmingham City fans saying, oh, everyone laughed when we retired his shirt, but he's laughing now. And I thought, Christ, man, you know, that's like Newcastle. Like, we haven't retired Alan Shearer's shirt.
Yeah.
And he's the best striker the Premier League's ever seen. And there's loads of instances of that. You know, plenty of clubs have had amazing players. But 17-year-old, he'd achieved nothing at that point, had he? To retire his shirt was just...
But he must have been that good. Obviously, yeah, people, I
mean, they've obviously
people knew something about him for, to have your shirt retired at 17. When you say you played a handful of games, really, in the Championship for Birmingham. So, yeah, that just was a bit of a curiosity, really, more than anything else. That's me. Done for my picks, Baz. Did you dip into any other markets?
The only other thing I looked at, out of interest, I was looking at the Golden Glove because I tipped up Alisson pre-tournament at 5-1. He's in and out a 9-4 favourite, which I was pleased about. He's kept two clean sheets, conceded one goal last night. Missed one of the games. He got rested, didn't he, for the last game of the group stage. I mean, the first two games, he didn't make a save. So I did think, how does that play into your chances of winning a Golden Glove if you're not actually making any saves? But he actually made a couple of good stops last night. And that was why I sort of picked him. Brazil to go far into the tournament. And he's got those sort of highlight reel saves potential, hasn't he? I think he had one or two of them last night. So a 9-4, I don't need to do anything more. But that's 5-1, I've got a bit of value there. So I did have a little look further down. More looking at... If we get a shock or two in these next round, which has got potential.
I know exactly where you're going to go here, Baz. I've just loaded this market up. I've not looked at it all day. And there's a name absolutely jumped off the page. I'm going to write it down here because you're about to see it.
I looked at it this afternoon. So this was before tonight's games. And the one I was looking at was Livakovic.
Oh, right, that's not what I've been.
Well, no, I'm assuming are you looking at the Moroccan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously that, for exactly the same reasons, I've wrote him down tonight, for exactly the same reason, I think he's about 20-1. But it's not, you know, I think the penalty shootout is great, isn't it? It adds to your chances if you win a penalty shootout and save several penalties in it. So Livakovic was the same reason. He had the penalty shootout yesterday. But then in the group stages, he kept two clean sheets as well. So two goals, two clean sheets. He has conceded two, but a penalty shootout win. We expect Brazil are going to beat Croatia. But if for some stupid reason we ended up with another penalty shootout and Croatia went through on pens... He'd be in there with a shout if you get through two penalty shots. But as you say, tonight's changed my view a little bit, and I would definitely lean more towards Morocco because there's more chance of a Morocco upset tonight. Sorry, in the next round, there's more chance of Morocco beating Portugal than there is Croatia beating Brazil. So yeah, I think those penalty shootouts could be potentially eye-catching. So he's kept a clean sheet against Spain. He's got clean sheets against Belgium and Croatia. That's a solid start for someone to win that Golden Glove, isn't it? Three clean sheets out of four, a penalty shootout win. And let's say they get the penalties against Portugal and win again. I think even if they went out in the semi-finals, he could potentially be a Golden Glove. So 20-1, I'll take.
That's absolutely left off the page to me, Baz. I just looked at that page for the first time today. Yassine Bounou. I looked I went on Twitter after the game tonight, and Bono was trending, as in the YouTube singer Bono. And it can only be people getting this bloke's name wrong, unless Bono might have done something himself. But I presumed it was just that people had got their Bounou for Morocco. Yeah, and if you say he gets a Portugal, if he saves a pen over from Ronaldo or Fernandes in that shootout, I think one more nil-nil and maybe a penalty shootout win, and he's absolutely live at 20-1.
Right, so, yeah, I think 20-1 is brilliant for that. So I'd looked at the Croatia lad, but I'm definitely now leaning the other way to the Moroccan for exactly the same reasons. They've got clean sheets under their belt, got a penalty shootout under their belt. And a real life chance in the next round, one of the Golden Glove. The only other thing I'd picked out, and to be honest, I'm off it now because I looked at it this afternoon, and it was Portugal to be eliminated as runners up, so to finish runners up in the thing. They were 9-1 this afternoon, Portugal, and they're now into 4-1 to finish runners up in this tournament. I'm not having them at fours, but at 9-1 this afternoon, I think it was probably halfway through the Spain game when I looked at that price.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that Spain looked crap And thinking Portugal will beat Spain. But obviously Spain going out and Portugal going through is now massively reduced that. So I did mark that one off this afternoon, but didn't get on in time, and it all unraveled a bit. So otherwise, I think that's pretty much all of mine. Yeah.
One other thing with Bunyu, I think if they make the semi-finals as well, I think they'd be the first African team to do that. And I think there would be some sort of recognition for them from FIFA, because these awards are subjective. This one particularly is, like you said, about the golden ball. So they maybe would throw Morocco a bone in terms of that as well. So
I talked about the golden ball at the start of the tournament because I'd tipped Alisson. And I remember looking at the sort of history of who'd won it, and the majority of them do get to the final, but not all of them. I think that there has been past. You know, I think Courtois won it last time. And Belgium were third place, weren't they? So
I think Luis Suarez won it one time as well, without them getting too deep.
So losing in a semi-final doesn't mean you can't win that golden glove. If you're taking that, obviously you're looking for Morocco to beat Portugal, and you're definitely in there. 20-1's huge for that.
Champion, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we talked there for about 25 minutes longer than we planned, Baz. A proper pub football chat. End of the show, we'll be back tomorrow to look at quarterfinal day one, which is Friday, the first two games. So around about the same time, I think, for that show. And then as we approach the weekend, things go a bit higgledy-piggledy, as always. I've got jobs Friday and Saturday. Keep the cogs of industry turning. One-man economy. We'll definitely be back tomorrow to look at those games for Friday. Baz, anything else you need to tell us?
No, I think that's all from me tonight.
Champion, as I mentioned earlier, go to all the right places and help us out with subscriptions and likes and 5 stars on Spotify, etc. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we'll see you down the road, and don't let all the cream go in your finger.
Good night.